It's a real honor and a privilege to be here with you this morning. And last time I was here, it was several years ago. And you might remember me. Some of you might remember me. Do you anyone remember me speaking here in the past? Raise your hand. No. Oh, okay, so if I retell a story, then that won't be so bad. It must be a brand new church here. But last time I was here several years ago, you had a completely different staff, completely different pastoral staff, and it's good to be here today and just see some of the changes that have taken place and be part of something fresh that God is doing at Richmond Pentecostal Church. How many of you believe God is doing something fresh here? Come on now. All right, so I'm one of those preachers that you got to help me preach, because the more you help me, the better I preach. And but it's good to just see what God is doing. It's absolutely amazing how God has put all this together for you. And we don't want to take these moments for granted. I love being part of God's stories. I really do. I love seeing what God can do, what God can transform, what God can revive, and what God is reigniting. And I believe he's doing that right here in this place. And I have had the great privilege of having your pastors, Jim and Elaine, to come and serve with us a couple months ago in Italy. And just loved the way that whole connection came about. And they served the Italian leaders and pastors very well. And I just want to say thank you for sending your pastors to us and releasing them to pour into this land. And I know it was a special trip for Pastor Jim in particular, as he's feeling something stirring in his own heart for his background and his roots. And the next time he comes, we'll really get him back to his roots in Sicily, you know. And my wife is here today, and she's a proud Sicilian. Liliana, would you just stand up and say hi? And so I tease my wife because her roots are Sicilian and my roots are just outside of Rome. So I say, you're Sicilian and I'm Italian. There's a difference. Caruso, right? And then our son Daniel, he's our second son Daniel, way in the back there. And yeah, he's my greatest fan. He's our miracle baby, our special needs boy, and he brings a lot of joy to a lot of people in every. He's saying go Canucks go because he knows he's a real Canuck fan. So yeah, they need all the prayers they can get these days. But anyways, yeah, we're so glad to be here. And and as I was saying, you know, what I really admired of Aileen and Elena and Jim is, you know, they are leaders who will serve you with every ounce of love in their hearts, if you haven't noticed that yet. They are true pastors to the core. They are true shepherds to the body of Christ. And they are also leaders of faith and who will step out, who will launch out, leaders who aren't afraid to take risks, and leaders who will challenge and stretch you to reach your greatest potential, not only for your personal life, but for the destiny and the vision and the purpose that God has for this church in this city in the Lower Mainland. Amen? And so I'm just glad to have developed this relationship, and we're just believing for some great days and years ahead together as we serve in the kingdom. As you heard, Pastor Randy said, we've had some technical difficulties this morning. I mean, I had video clip, I had photos to show you. We're not showing any of that, so whatever. Things happen, but I'm going to just share verbally with you, and I think you'll catch the spirit in the heart of what we're doing. And we pastored previously to taking this role with Next Level International. We pastored for 15 years, and our last pastorate was with Christian Life Assembly on the north side of the Fraser River at the Maple Ridge campus for 7 years, and we were privileged to replant that church in partnership with the district and see that church go from 60 to 400 in 7 years. And Dan was there, and they were attending with his dear wife as well. And just saw Tara. Yeah, Tara. Tara was on our administrative staff back in the day. And so just, wow, small world. It's all coming to me now. But we had some amazing years. We're really, I remember, Tara, you were there from the beginning. You were there from the beginning, right? When there were 60 people in the church, we had royal blue carpet and purple pews. She was there. Wow. Yeah, see, it's really all coming to me now. And we, in 7 years, we saw a complete transformation, literally, just a move of God in that church, a church that wanted to shut down and throw away the keys and forget about the history, but we knew God had a purpose there, and we just saw some amazing things happen. And 7 years later, the Lord stirred in my heart, my wife's heart, that he was calling us to leave the pastorate and to really take another big step of faith in our life and ministry and become missionaries and be a voice for the cause of Europe. And for those of you that might not know many of the statistics, I was going to show that to you, but I'll just share some of them with you right now, is that the continent of Europe has got over 800 million people, and less than 3% are considered evangelical Christians. In fact, 19 nations out of the 48 nations in Europe, less than 1% are evangelicals. In 19 out of the 48 nations. And we're talking about a continent that just a couple hundred years ago had 70% of the world evangelicals, and now has gone to be very post-Christian. And we've got a young generation in Europe that have very little knowledge of who Jesus is and the work on the cross and the resurrection. And you go to the Netherlands, over 16 million people, and less than half don't even know what Easter means. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And just the paganism that has grown in this continent. And missiologists will tell you today that it has become the forgotten mission field. And cathedrals have turned into bingo halls and museums or are empty. And there's a very deep spiritual vacancy in Europe as we speak. And God is not forgotten about this continent. So no matter what the facts say, no matter what the statistics say, we know that God has his hand on this continent. And right now, even in the scheme of what's happening in our world, and everybody's got its eyes on Europe and the influx of the Islamic religion coming into this continent and the war of terrorism and these random acts that are taking place, friends, this is a strategic time for the continent of Europe. I believe God is calling this continent back to its spiritual roots. But he's calling people all across Canada who have spiritual roots in Europe to rise up and to stand in a gap for this continent, not only with your prayers, but also support it financially and send people. And I believe God is going to do something. And I believe as the Canadian church rises up and partners with this continent, he's going to bless the church here in Canada as we see revival sweep through Europe as well. And so we're just believing God is going to move in this continent. And God has been using Next Level International just over the past 20 years. We are actively working in 16 nations, and we have been very strong and specialized in the church planting initiatives in Eastern Europe when communism fell. And so we love going into dark places in Europe. We love going into places where there's no evangelical churches. Many times, the first convert of a town became the church planter in that city or in that town. And so we've been privileged to see God move in nations like Poland and in the Ukraine. When I first came on staff, we worked on a very first project in Crimea, which you know now has been overtaken by the Russians. And we knew we had a short window to do something. And so some of the evangelical leaders in that region called us and said, would you help us plant some churches? Because we know we have a short window. And these are pastors who were in prison for proclaiming the gospel in that area. And so we were able, in a span of 5 years, plant 14 evangelical churches in Crimea. And as soon as that whole project wrapped up, the Russians came in and took over. And now we've got churches that are vibrant there, that are reaching out to the soldiers, to the military, and it's just amazing how God works. And we were so privileged and honored to be part of that. Timing is everything. And there's an urgency to the kingdom of God today, and you can hear me talk more about that later. And then we also worked in Serbia. We're involved in Serbia. And Serbia is one of the least evangelized nations in all of Europe. And we're talking the city of Belgrade is 7.5 million people. And and in Belgrade you might find only 1,000 believers. And we've been just working in that whole nation, and we work in one of the second largest cities called Novi Sad, which is about 400,000 people, and you might find 300 to 400 believers in that in Novi Sad. And so we partnered with a church called Nexus, and they were leaders that were groomed out of our leadership and training track and development, and they felt God calling them to plant this church, and so we came alongside them, and now they're outreaching to the Gypsy Roma people outside of the vicinity of their city in the outskirts of Novi Sad, and there's a settlement there, a ghetto of Gypsies, about 3,000 to 5,000 Gypsies that live there, and we were able to go in there and begin a food distribution program. We didn't go in there and start preaching the gospel. We went in there and started helping families with food boxes. And out of that, we selected a couple that came out of that ghetto, Mirko and Slavica. And they were lost. They were in deep poverty in this ghetto. And the husband was abusive. He was an alcoholic. She was suicidal, attempted to kill herself several times. And finally, this couple came and hit rock bottom, and God got a hold of them through the Nexus Church and completely transformed their lives. And they came alongside, and we mentored them and coached them and restored them, and they were totally renewed as a couple in their marriage. And a German couple from Germany built a brand new house and said, and right across the street from the ghetto, and said, "You can live in the main floor of this house for 50 euros a month. That's all we're going to charge you. But God is calling you to reach out these Gypsies in this community where you came out from, because you're the best people to reach these people." And so we equipped them, and we raised money, and we got them to start feeding 20 different families in the village every month. They selected 20 different families, brought the food box, and people were saying, "Why are you doing this? Why are you loving us like this? Why, with no strings attached?" And they were able to share their story of how God took them out of that ghetto, how God took them out of that deep systemic poverty, and how God took them out of abuse and alcoholism and suicidal issues, and restored them. And people began to want to hear their story. And out of that, people started getting saved, to the point where they were baptizing people in the bathtub in their home. Come on. Isn't that like just like the New Testament church? And so out of that, now there's a Roma church, a Gypsy church in that ghetto of 30 to 40 people right now as we speak. All because we went in there unconditionally loving on people, showing them the light of Christ through giving them some food and sharing the gospel. And now we started a whole education program, and where we're helping to send some of these kids to get a better education, because they're segregated, they're considered outcasts of society, and God has just been doing some awesome things through our education program, helping Roma children. And so we agreed to provide the ways and the means for 5 students to attend school this year. And we identified 2 university students and 3 primary school students. And we are providing tuition, books, exams, and shoes and clothes and supplies. And we actually sponsored 6. And we're believing that God will enable us to double that this year in 2016. And speaking of these kids, our coordinators on the ground took one of the girls and their moms shopping for clothes, and we got a whole new perspective of the world when we heard that this mom and daughter had never been in a shopping mall ever. They never were able to purchase brand new clothes, and they never experienced a ride on an escalator in a mall. And so this is just some of the stuff that God is enabling us to do, and we're believing He's going to multiply that this year. Another area that I'm also personally engaged is in the nation of Italy, and that goes right to my roots. And I know this is what Pastor Jim wants me to really share about, and and you're considering as a church to partner with us in Italy. And you might think, Italy, why? Who needs Italy? Come on now. Why would we want to go and reach out? Italy's a mission field? Absolutely. Absolutely. This nation is about 60 million people, and there are less than 700,000 evangelical Christians. Hello. 30,000 cities and towns don't have an evangelical church in the nation of Italy. It is a nation that is gripped with a very strong religious spirit. There is a form of religion, but there's a lack of true relationship. And there is an absolute vacancy in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, really, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Not just a symbol, not just Mary, but there's a lot more to that. And now there's a whole refugee crisis happening that come to the seashores of the Puglia region in Italy. There's 2 million Muslims that now live in the nation of Italy. Did you know that the largest mosque in all of Europe is in Rome? The largest mosque. And the nation is in economic crisis right after Greece with the highest unemployment rate in its history. 30% of Italians are now considered to be living on the poverty line. Evangelical churches barely make it each month. A lot of the pastors, most of them are all bivocational, run their own businesses and help fund their own churches. And Pastor Jim saw that while he was there. And so one of the things that we have been working on is going in and working with the national leaders who have said, come and help us. Help us to change the mindset here. We need a move of God among the evangelical church. The evangelical church in Italy is very fragmented, very divided. Every group is divided, is a split from someone else, and there's competition, and there's no unity. And so God has put a burden on our hearts to go in as roots of Italians and to be a fresh voice and to speak vision and to speak life and to speak the love of Christ in that nation. And so we've been working and training about 80 to 100 of their national leaders, which Pastor Jim was part of, and Elaine. And we just saw just God move on these people, just listening to fresh stuff and stuff that they've never heard before. And in 2016, we were able to launch 3 brand new churches. And one of the cities was a city called San Antonio, which is next door to Pompeii. And it is the very first evangelical church being planted in this city, in the history of this city, 100% Catholic. Isn't that good? And so we were able to do that. And we want to see that done over and over and over. We're working in an area called Scampia, which is considered the Bronx of Naples. There's about $3 to $4 million of drug trafficking each week that happens in this city. It is more dangerous than the New York Bronx. And a couple, Salvatore and Anna, we had the privilege with your pastors to have dinner with them and hear their story and hear how God transformed them. This is a couple that come out of the Bronx. Again, kind of like Serbia, the story of Serbia. They come out of the Bronx. He was one of the ringleaders in the organized crime regime in the city of Scampia. And God got a hold of this couple, totally transformed them, changed their lives. And ever since they've been saved, they couldn't shake off a burden for their city. They're saying, we know what it means for people to live in organized crimes. We know what it means for a wife to be home and the husband is in prison because he got caught. We know what it means to be involved in domestic violence and poverty. And I mean, if I show you some of the pictures of the city and we drove through it, it's like a ghetto, real ghetto. And so about a year ago, I met this couple, Salvatore and Anna, who God transformed their lives many years ago, and says, you know, our heart and our vision is to have a presence read in the Bronx. We need to have a presence right in the Bronx. And I says, well, let's pray about it. Let's believe that God is going to do something. And so just about a year ago, a year later, the Lord provided funding, and we were able to start the first center read in the Bronx in this city called Scampia, and it's called Hope Center. And they're reaching out to those that are dealing with addictions. It's kind of like a recovery-type church, and leading them to rehabilitation. There's a whole massive food bank. They feed over 100 families a week, through their food bank, and we saw that. We took Jim and his wife right to the food bank to show them the distribution that is taking place. They started a kids outreach program. They're in the midst right now of getting computers, and they just renovated the basement of their center to do an after-school program, and all kinds of good things are happening there. And then we were able to plant another church on the Adriatic side of Puglia, and just God is doing some amazing things. But we believe we're just at the beginning. We're just at the beginning. And so the momentum is growing in Italy. And so as a family, we're feeling God is calling us to go there for about 3 months from May till the end of July, and really working on this project and this initiative. We've got two more churches that are ready to be planted this year if we get the funding for it. We feel strongly in our hearts the vision for Italy is a new church for a new generation, for a new nation. And in order for a new church to rise up in the nation of Italy, it's going to come from the next generation. And so we've got a clean slate. There is no next gen movement in Italy. And so we're going to be working for those 3 months to begin to put foundations to do big events like History Makers, Youth Convention that Mike Love does in Alberta. In fact, Mike Love is going in February, and we're beginning we're going to organize a whole thing to have catalytic big events, youth conventions, where we're going to call out this next generation. And then out of that, we're going to put them into training, equip them, and for the long-term vision to release them as leaders and church planters all throughout the nation of Italy. And so we've got a lot of work ahead of us. And so, but we're feeling like we need to be on the field in order to get this all ready and lay down the foundations and be there for these three church plants that we just launched and mentor them and train. And we've got another conference while we're going to be there. And so right now we're raising that budget of about $30,000. And so we're believing that God is going to provide those funds between now and May for when we leave. And so we're believing that God is going to raise up 30 people that will give $1,000, or he's going to raise up 300 people that are going to give $100. And today you have the opportunity to sow into this at the end of the service. Pastor Jim is going to lead you in that. And so just be open to whatever the Holy Spirit is. But I believe we're on the brink of seeing a nation change, seeing a nation transformed. Someone said, you know, Italy's shaped like a boot, and God wants to use this nation to boot the devil, not only out of Italy, but boot him right out of Europe and see a mighty move of God come. Come on, someone. Give the Lord a praise offering this morning, eh? Amen. This is some of the stuff that God is doing, and I could go on and on and on, but I believe it's now time for the Word, and how many are ready for the Word this morning? Amen. Man, today as we open God's word, my prayer is that God would move you, that God would move us, because before he can move you as a church, it needs to start with you individually. Amen? I believe right here in these seats, there are world changers. How many of you believe that? There are world changers right here in these seats. We don't come to church to occupy seats. We come to church to go and to be the church, to be the gospel of Jesus. And allow me to give you an encouraging word at the start of this new year in 2016, and I really felt it strong as we were worshiping this morning. But I feel the word, Pastor Jim, for Richmond Pentecostal Church is this: go deeper. Go deeper. That's what I really felt strongly in my spirit this morning as we were worshiping, is he's telling you in 2016, you need to go deeper. And the best things in your life as a community of believers here in 2016 will not be found on a surface level. In fact, nothing's going to be found on a surface level. No matter where you look in life this morning, if you leave things at a surface level, it's going to be shallow and it's going to be hollow. And if you leave church at a surface level, you will miss out on God's best for you. And it will be just another typical gathering that you can get anywhere else in the Lower Mainland on Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but I just don't want typical gatherings anymore. I want to go into gatherings that are going to be unique, that are just going to be something profound and deep and transformative about those gatherings. But if you choose to go deeper as a church and as a community of believers who don't have it all together, but you combine what you have with what the person next to you sitting this morning has, and together you combine those things, and you have the sacrifice of many, you become a local church that is actually doing something for other people and that is impacting a city, and not only impacting a city, but impacting a nation, and not only impacting a nation, but impacting the nations, and impacting a city, a nation, and nations right around the world. You can do something, and I'm encouraging you to go deeper spiritually, go deeper living, loving people, go deeper in serving people, go deeper in serving this city, go deeper in your relationships, in your marriage, go deeper in your levels of generosity, go beyond the surface and go deeper, church, this morning. And if you leave your relationship with Jesus on a surface level, because if you do it, it will just be about going through the motions and becomes like a religion. But you can go a little deeper and you can actually have a living relationship with the King of heaven and earth. And so I want to encourage you, go deeper this morning. See, some of you here have walked away from the things on a surface level, and God is going to push you back to say, I will no longer run. I'm going to go deeper. And if you have a dream that still hasn't come to pass or still hasn't come to fruition, go deeper. If you need a spiritual breakthrough this morning, then I'm telling you, go deeper. If you need something physically or healing in your body, I'm telling you to go deeper. If you need a wayward son or a wayward daughter or a spouse to come back to Christ, then I'm challenging you this morning, go deeper, church. Go deeper. Does that encourage anyone here this morning? And so today I want to challenge you to go deeper when it comes to living life on mission and on purpose. And how does that translate in your life personally? And how does that translate in the life of this church and what God has destined this church to be and to do? In Mark chapter 16, I want to read the scriptures. In Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. And the Bible says this. Why don't we stand for God's reading of His word this morning? He said to them, go into all the world and preach good news. How many of you know you're a carrier of good news this morning? We don't have bad news. There's enough bad news in the media today. You just need to flip on the TV, you just need to pick up a newspaper, and there's more than bad news that we can get our hands to and our fingertips to. But this morning, you're a carrier of good news. Good news. Say that, good news. So go into all the world and preach good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Not might be saved, will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany you who believe. In the name in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. They will get well. Not might get well. They will get well. And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. And I love verse 20. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. Say everywhere. Everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. What a promise. And he confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. I want to tell you this, that if you go deeper this year, signs and wonders will accompany you. Signs and wonders will accompany you. We need to get back to the signs and wonders. We need to get out of religion, and we need to get back in true relationship by going deeper, and we need to see the release of signs and wonders accompany everything we do. So, Father, this morning, we ask you as we open our hearts to receiving from you that you would give us a heart of flesh to receive so that it could be changed and it could be transformed. And speak to our hearts, speak to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus' own word says here, he says, go into all the world and preach good news to all creation. Now, I want you to note something, that this was not just a suggestion. This was actually a commandment. It's not the great suggestions. It's actually the great commandment. And it's not just for a select group of people, or it's not just a word for vocational missionaries or full-time pastors, whatever it may be, but it's for all of us. No one is excluded from this. No one is. We're all called to this. This is a word for all of us here today, and we are carriers, like I said, of this good news. We are called to this thing called the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach good news to all creation. And like what he says in verse 20, that he will go with us. You see, when God commands, we go. We go. And the promise is that when we go, he goes with us. He doesn't tell you to go on your own. He doesn't tell you to go and say, hey, figure it out. No, he says, I will go with you. That's his promise. He says, my spirit will go with you. My anointing will go with you. My guidance will go with you. My direction will go with you. Signs and wonders will follow you when we go. Friends, this isn't anything new that I'm preaching this morning. You've heard this probably 100 times, 1,000 times. But I pray that somehow this morning there's going to be a fresh revelation in our hearts, that there's going to be a different level of conviction about the mandate and the urgency of our time and what God is saying to you specifically as Richmond Pentecostal Church. And so he gives us everything we need to live on mission and to live our life on purpose. Jesus describes how we are all part of the commission that is full of life. That is full of life. It's not full of religion. It's not full of formality. It's the commission that is full of life. And we get to bring this life because we are carriers of life. Because Jesus Christ, the living one, lives on the inside of me and on the inside of you. Therefore, wherever we go, we are bringing life. We are bringing good news. We are bringing life into that context, into that environment, into that atmosphere, into that place. And you are a bringer of life. When was the last time that you woke up in the morning and saw yourself as a bringer of life? This morning. Come on, somebody. I love that. You know, some of you need to get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror after you brush your teeth and say, wow, Stephen, you're a bringer of life. I'm going to bring some life today. God, where is it that you want me to bring life? Where are those dead places that you want me to bring life? In the office, in the grocery store, in the doctor's office, wherever you may be. Where is it that you're wanting for me to bring life? And that's what the apostles did. You're talking about apostles. Apostles were people who brought life. And when life comes, then you're able to build something. You're able to establish something. And so what an honor and a privilege in which we have to live our lives in this reality. We can call this the great co-mission. Co-mission, which means partnership. And we have this honor and this privilege where we can live out our lives with the reality that we are in co-mission, in partnership with Jesus. And so the questions this morning to ponder are these. What do you perceive your mission to be here on the planet? What do you perceive your mission to be? What is your idea of being on mission? I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but historically the church people have had this idea that missions is for someone else and not for me. And maybe you're here today and you've said those very same words. Or it's for those missionaries, for those global workers, it's for you, Tom. That's speaking to you because that's what you do. But the reality is that that this is something that we all do. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a tradesperson, whether you're a business person, whether you're a professor, a doctor, administrative, whether you're in sales, whether you're a student, we're all called to it. We are all called to it. Churches have had this idea that the mission is something that we do on the side, and it's a sub-ministry program of the church.
or it's some department of the church. But if we have some money and left over at the end of our budget year, then we'll give some of it away. But let me tell you something. Global missions is not an over and above budget item or a special offering, but it's part of what we do as a church, and it's embedded in the very culture, DNA, and fabric of the local church. And I know that missions is a strong DNA in this church. And I think God is actually reviving that to a greater level for you. Because God has called this church not only to touch this city and this community, but God is calling you to impact it global. And so the British theologian Christopher Wright said, the mission of God is too important to leave it to missionaries. See, this is not a mission for others, but it's a commission where we can live our life not just saved, but called. I want to show you this really interesting verse in 2 Timothy 1, 8 to 9. That is really, the past year really brought insight to me and brought some revelation. And I trust that it could be deposited in your heart and that you would receive fresh revelation on this morning, because I think if you just grasp this concept that I'm going to just teach here for a few minutes, it's going to change you radically, and it's going to change your perspective on how you live out your everyday life. But here, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Now watch verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Wow. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So some key phrases here. Called us, saved us, and called us. Through his own purpose and grace. We have some interesting scripture here. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. If you can just grab a hold of this today, let me tell you, it will change your perspective. Not according to your own good works, but according to how good you are, but according to his own purpose and grace. So the first line, he has saved you and called you. These two concepts right here need to be so aligned and work together. That when we live a called life and a saved life simultaneously, it will give us an incredible ability to have impact in living out your life. It will release an incredible amount of harvest and opportunity to you, and it will give you and us an opportunity to see the manifestation of the power of God working through us, because we're living saved and we're living called. And the second line says, he has purposed you and he has graced you. And so I want you to see something here. Sandwiched between God's salvation and being saved and God's grace being graced, there's this thing called calling. No matter who you are, where you come from, or what your background is this morning, your status, you're sitting in this room today, you are saved for God-given purpose. You are called to the purpose in which God has designed for your life. You are called on mission. And so it's imperative that each follower of Christ aligns his or her life with the mission of God. Living your life with the mission of God means living your life saved and called. But you know what my observation has been in the Canadian church? That we have a lot of Canadian churches that are filled with saved people, religious people, but very few are living called. See, friends, there's a difference. It's a lot easier to live saved. Do your religious thing. We come to our Sunday morning gathering. We put on our best clothes. We carry our Bible. We might have a little devotion. We come, we sing the songs, we hear the message, we go home, and then everyday life starts on Monday. That's living saved. But living called means that on Monday, we go and engage in our purpose and in our mission on why we really exist and why we're on the planet. And so God has to change this whole mindset in the Canadian context and in our churches that we're not just here to, like I said, we're not just here to have a seat and to warm up a spot in the pew on Sunday morning. We're not just here. We're actually world changers. And how do you become a world changer? You become a world changer by living out in your calling. And that's every day, 24/7, Monday to Sunday. That's every day. And see, so unfortunately, many people are just living saved. And let me tell you, just living saved isn't going to cut it if we want to see a move of God. Living saved isn't going to cut it if we want to reach the city of Richmond, if we want to reach the Lower Mainland, if we want to see God truly impact this nation from coast to coast and sea to sea, if we want to really see transformation come, if we want to see the prodigals come, if we want to see marriages restored, if we want to see impact globally. I'm telling you, it's going to take us to be more than just saved, but it's going to be us, you and I, being engaged in our calling every day. So we have the saved life, and then we have the everyday life, and there's no there can't be both. We are missing out on the power of living out our purpose when we live this way. We miss out on the power of God because the power of God gets manifested when we live saved and we live called simultaneously. And that's when the signs and wonders will follow us as we go. You see, according to Timothy, between saved and grace, there's calling. Saved for God-given purpose. If God has, and I want you to know that if God has called you to it, He will grace you for it. Don't confuse not wanting to with not able to. So God graces us for living out our purpose and our mission. He gave us grace even before time began in order that we can fulfill our calling and purpose. And it's all about His purpose. Your time, your energy, your life, your health, your talents, your finances, your resources, your family, your relationships. It's all about the purpose of God. It's all about part of being in the calling. It's not being saved and then just having everyday life. No, everyday life. It's all about your calling. It's all about your purpose. It's all about your mission. It's intermixed. And to live your life on mission means to live your life on purpose, fulfilling your calling. And it's all for the glory of God. But for some people, there's a lack of alignment. But when we understand it's all about God's purpose, there's no such thing as living two separate lives, our spiritual life and our everyday life. Both must be aligned with God's purpose. We make it all about His business, amen? This is what it means to live your life on mission and on purpose. This is what it means when you're going to go deeper. If you're going to go deeper, then you're going to go beyond just surface salvation living. You're going to go deeper into living out your calling. Come on, somebody. Is this registering with you this morning? Hallelujah. There's so much to get done. And so the questions this morning is, how does this alignment in your life look like today? How are you stewarding your saved life and your called life? What do you need grace for the most in living out your called life? What's hindering you from stepping into your calling today? God wants to set you free. He wants to heal you if you're broken. He wants to remove fear if that's what it is. He wants to give you boldness. He wants you to live with boldness and with courage. Acts 13:36, it says, "For when David served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He died and went to heaven." But what did David do? The Bible says he served God's purpose in his own generation. You see, each and every one of you here today, you're serving God's generation in Richmond. You're serving God's generation in this city, in this lower mainland, in this nation. And what's interesting is that David was building for eternity. He helped pave a path for the future. Because here we are still talking about it today. You see, for David, his life outlived him. Because he lived his life aligned on mission and on purpose. He went and served his generation. He didn't assume the generation would go to him. Instead, he went to the generation and served the generation. Let's do this by serving our generation today. This is why Richmond Pentecostal Church exists today, to serve the generation of this city and the vision that God has set before you. We serve because people need to see Jesus. And when you're serving, you're Jesus in action. We serve because the harvest is waiting. In the text in Mark, Jesus didn't say go over to, but he said go into the world and preach good news. In other words, penetrate, download hope, download love, download servanthood, download care, change culture by living your life on mission. With the good news, we are called to proclaim the gospel to all creation. That is our mission and our calling this morning. It doesn't mean go on the street corner and hold up a sign and say, repent or burn. We still have some of those guys out there. The Great Commission is not about coming here. But rather, it's about go and tell. It's not about come to church. It's about be the church. You see, when we're walking in our calling and living life on mission, then you are being the church. We need to be the church. We need to be the fragrance of Jesus wherever we go and make his name famous by serving our generation. Every day, there's something you can do to make his name famous. Wow. Jesus calls us to do more than invite. He asks us to get involved with the hurting humanity all around us. In one of the mother churches that we're working with in Naples, and Pastor Jim spoke there, and they were outreaching to a community in a city that was outside, just in a suburb called Via Napoli. And for 10 years, this woman from England, 10 years ago, went and said, God is calling me to come to this ghetto. It's a real ghetto, kind of like a Bronx, and start a children's ministry. And so Kids Island was birthed. And it's kind of like Metro Ministry. You know, they've got a little truck, the stage pops open, and they do outreaches, and they go in and love the kids in that neighborhood, in that community. There's high rises everywhere, high density. And so this woman from England, God called her to go in this place called Via Napoli to go and start this kids ministry. And this mother church that we're working with right now, she trained them to start this kids ministry there. And for 10 years, they served those kids for 10 years. And they saw nothing happen. They just went out there and loved on these kids and built relationship. But in the last year, a phenomenon is taking place. Some couple of women got saved, and God started to move. And so this lady says, hey, I want to open up my house to have like a small group, a Bible study. Would you come and do that? We says, yeah, we'll come and do that. And you guys have been here for years, and you've been serving our kids, and God's now transformed my life. I want to open my house. I want to give back. And so they've been doing that, and the house got filled. 12 women get saved. Filled. They had no more capacity. So one of the ladies says, hey, you know what? I've got a wine cellar in the basement of the building. Now, you might get all tickled because it's a wine cellar. I don't care if it's going to reach people in a wine cellar and people are getting saved. Let be a wine cellar. I don't care. But anyways, they had their jackets on. It's cold in there, and their coats, and they're having church. And it grew to 30 people. And they filled up the wine cellar. And then they just moved recently, a few months ago. Pastor Jim was at this location in a storefront, and they opened up a storefront where they're having their church, and there's 40 to 60 people. Just recently, in the last month, more people have been added. I mean, I had all the pictures up to show you how packed out it is. And in New Year's, in Christmas Eve, they did a big banquet in Christmas Eve in this center where they're feeding families who didn't have family or didn't know where to go, couldn't afford to have a Christmas Eve dinner, and they put on a whole Christmas Eve dinner. And God has just done something. But friends, it was after 10 years of serving that generation in that city. And today there's a church. That's why we can't stop serving. That's why we can't stop planting the seed and watering the seed. You know what? Nobody here is qualified to save anybody. Nobody here. Only Jesus Christ, because he paid the greatest price. He died on the cross, resurrected to life after 3 days. He's the only one that could save. But I'll tell you something this morning. I'll tell you something. Everybody here has the ability and can plant seed. Everybody here can water the seed. And some of us have quit seeding. Some of us have quit watering because we felt we haven't seen the harvest. But I want you to know today, Richmond Pentecostal Church, don't lose heart. Keep serving the generation. Keep serving the generation. Keep planting seed. Keep watering the seed because the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. And we're all qualified to do that. And so God has just been doing that and we're just believing. So now they need partners to come along, and we want to support this work because we just feel like this is a sovereign work of God. We cannot say we can't support that because it's great soil. It's fruitful. Serving your generations means speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those that are being crushed. To speak up for the poor and the helpless, and to say that they get justice. Seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. It's not enough to depend on Sunday gatherings. We need to get up every morning and look ourselves in the mirror before we walk out of our doors, out of our homes, and tell ourselves, you're on mission, and there's someone that I need to touch today. There's someone that's waiting for you. And maybe it just means listening to somebody. Maybe it just means to go to the gym and someone starts opening up to you. Or to see someone in Tim Hortons or Starbucks and they just need someone to listen to. That's all it is. Plant that seed. Be there. Be sensitized with what's going on around you. So many times we leave our home and we're so focused on what we got to get done that day that we miss out some incredible opportunities. They're all around us. There's hurting humanity all around us, and God is saying it's time to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty and be Jesus to somebody. Serve the generation. When you are a people, you see, God is actually calling you to be a people of his presence. That's what happens when we live on mission and on purpose. We're being a people of his presence. And when you're a people of his presence, you are a people who serve its generation. And you are bringing life and hope, no strings attached, love, mercy, grace, restoration, freedom. You are bringing change and making a difference in the very fabric and the culture of your society. We are being a people of his presence who serve its generation. Imagine for a moment if RPC becomes this in this city. What can take place in our offices, and what can take place in the grocery stores, and what can take place in aisle 8, and what can take place in our stores, in our schools, in our university, in our warehouses, in our hospitals? Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. There is no other power. There's a world out there that's searching for some higher power. And we know who the power is. And everyone who believes, it's news that I'm most proud to proclaim. It's the extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who dares to trust him. Romans 10:13-15 says, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, who richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, no one is exempt. This is an all-inclusive deal. How many of you like all-inclusive holidays? This is an all-inclusive deal. There's no difference between Jew or Gentile, status or background or color or nationality or education or whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. There's no difference. The same Lord, He is the Lord of all that He richly blesses who call on Him. The Message Bible says this is the same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way. It says here in the Message Bible, it says, help everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help God gets help. I'm thinking this morning there's a whole lot of people around us in your social networks that are crying out for help. For some of you, they are in your family members. For some of you, they are your coworkers or your classmates. There is a desperate cry coming out from humanity all around us and in the world, calling out for help in Richmond, in Vancouver, in the Lower Mainland, in Europe, in Italy, in Serbia, wherever. The truth is that everyone is called, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be welcomed, will be accepted, will be loved, and will be blessed, and will be cared for. The invitation is for everyone. And we've been invited to extend this invitation. How many of you are here today? How many of you are in relationship with Jesus today because someone invited you? Well, now you're called to be the extension of that invitation to many others. You see, it's not enough that just me and my little family are saved. We are called to bring this word out and serve this generation. And we see this model all throughout the New Testament in the ministry of Jesus. We receive this challenge, and Jesus challenges us in scriptures. Go to the highways and byways and invite as many people to the wedding. He went to the woman at the well and offered her a drink of living everlasting water. A woman that he initiated a conversation with, who secretly on the inside of her was crying out for help. And he says, I've got something for you to drink that you'll never thirst again. I have something that you're crying for today, that you're desperate for today. And he initiated a conversation which turned into a conversion, which turned into the conversion of an entire city. Why? Because Jesus initiated a conversation. I think there's some conversations that need to be initiated here in Richmond. Who knows what the next conversation can bring? Who knows what sign and wonder will accompany your next conversation? Wow. Friends, salvation isn't our destination. Eternity is our destination. And we have been commissioned to take as many people with us as possible. Who are you bringing with you? Who are you taking with you? There's an urgency to the proclamation of the gospel. This is why we do what we do at NLI. This is why I travel 60,000 miles a year. This is why I leave my family every month. This is why we choose to live by faith. Because there's an urgency to the kingdom of God. There's an urgency to the kingdom of God right here in Richmond. There's an urgency to the kingdom of God right here in the Lower Mainland. Those of you on the balcony, there's an urgency. My prayer is that the church in Canada would become sensitized to the urgent hour in which we are living in. The urgency on the inside of us that compels us to go and says that we can't stay where we are. We can't settle for this. But rather that we must move forward. We must expand our borders. This is a prophetic word to you. Stretch out your tent pegs because there are many. There are many that are in the waiting in this city. This is a word for you, Richmond. There are more for you in this city. They're in the waiting. There is something compelling your pastors to launch out and stretch out and reach out and extend your serve in this city and in the world. And I believe it's going to go beyond because there is an urgency that says we can't just settle. We can't just choose to live saved. We got to go deeper. there needs to be an urgency to see the kingdom of God come to the city, because every single life is fragile, that every civilization teeters on the brink of ruin. We would have never expected the political upheaval that we're seeing in our world today and the economic instability that we're seeing today, even in our own country in Alberta right now. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought the uncertainty and the destabilization that is happening almost overnight in the world? Who would have ever expected that you would reach a time as such as this in our world, where airplanes will disappear in the air, never to be found again? Who would have ever thought that we would witness these random cold acts of terrorism attacks all over the planet? Who would have ever thought we would be faced with a war of ISIL? We are living in some very interesting times. And this is why in Romans 10, 14 and 15, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know what, friends? Let's face it. In the natural, there's nothing beautiful about feet. Like, how many of you like your feet? If we were all take our socks off this morning, it wouldn't be a pretty sight. Are you following me? Yeah? We'd all need to get pedicures. Yeah. Like, there's nothing beautiful in the natural about feet, is there, really? I'm not fond of my feet. But the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's what makes your feet and my feet beautiful. It's the story on the inside of you. Because everybody in this room today has a story. How many of you have got a story? And it's your story that makes your feet beautiful. You are carriers of God's grace and mercy on your life. Here we see that we're not just a product of salvation, but we are a product of the message. A message that says, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You are God's story in motion. A story of God's grace and mercy in motion. Wow. My son is, I told you, he's my greatest fan. You see, friends, every one of us is on mission. For the sake of those who have not heard, for those who have not been given a chance to say yes, for those who still have not had the opportunity to hear the story, the message, for the 6,400 unreached groups on the planet today, and for the 6.4 billion people on the planet that still don't know Jesus. One of the challenges I've observed when it comes to being fully released and living on mission and purpose is that somehow we as Christians have equated the blessed life with the safe life. Somehow we've made the goal of Christianity living safe and in our comfort zones. Somehow we've made it our purpose to arrive at death safely. How boring. You know, if I could just arrive at death safely, that's all that matters. If I could just slip into my coffin nice and safe, mission accomplished. How boring if that's living out our calling. You see, friends, there's nothing safe about being on mission. There's nothing safe about being a Christian. Because the moment you and I gave our lives over to Christ, we've entered the battlefield. There's nothing safe about it. I don't think Jesus came to die on the cross and pay the highest price possible to be buried in a tomb and experience a resurrection just so that we can live nice and safe lives. He came so that we can actually be dangerous in the kingdom of darkness. Come on, church. God has not created us as a product of time, but a product of eternity.
and he has plucked us out of eternity, and he has positioned us in such a time as this, and he's given us gifts, and he's given us talents and creativity and resources for the purpose of telling our story and serving our generation and downloading the goodness and the love and the kindness and the hope of Jesus in a hurting humanity all around us. Friends, this isn't a dress rehearsal for the real thing. This is the real thing. And so I challenge you, don't run from risk, but rather embrace godly, kingdom, faith-filled risk so that we can advance the cause of the kingdom all throughout the planet. Partner with us in taking a risk in Italy, in Europe. I grew up all my life saying this. This is how I grew up, in the paradigm I grew up in. Maybe you've heard it too as you were growing up in the church environment. I grew up hearing this. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. How many have ever heard that? The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Really? For some reason, my experiences in the journey has never matched that. What they should have said is the most dangerous and uncertain place to be is in the center of God's will. But if you would place your life in his hands, I promise you, you will do more than you can ever think, dream, and imagine, because God always does things above and beyond. And his promise says, he goes with us. He goes with us, and it will be an adventure, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to be even painful at times, and certainly risky, but it will be the most rewarding place you can ever be. If you are going to live your life on mission and purpose, don't let your life be driven by fear. Let your calling drive you. Don't let fear define you, but rather let your calling define you this morning. Don't let your failure, don't let your problem, don't let your experiences of life dictate your belief, but rather let your belief dictate your experience. Because if we allow our experiences to dictate our belief, we might as well just pack it in right now. But let our belief dictate how we're going to live out this thing called your life on mission and on purpose and with calling, by your belief that God is on our side and he's called us to this and he goes with us. I'd like Randy to come back to the keyboard as we bring this to a close. And if I could just ask you to just, I know some of you might need to slip out, but I would ask you to just try not to. This is an important time that we've reached in the service. And I want you to receive everything that God has for you, because he wants to not only give us this information, but he wants this to be an impartation to you this morning. Let me ask you this. What if the life you really want and the future God wants for you is hidden right now in your biggest problem, in your worst failure, in your greatest fear? What if God wants to do something right now in the midst of your greatest fear, your worst failure, and your biggest problem? Someone needs to hear this today. I believe God is using your past to shape your present and prepare you for your future. Not your future, but his future. He wants to do something in you so he can actually do something through you. That's why we go through the stuff we go through. Because he wants us to relate to the hurting humanity around us. There's nothing safe about Christianity. Jesus didn't die so that we can live safe lives. He died so that we can live called, on mission, and on purpose. That we would be dangerous in the kingdom of darkness. God's calling you to go deeper, church. He's calling you to take some risks in the weeks, in the months ahead, in the years ahead, as a church, as individuals. He wants you to go deeper for his sake, because we're living in an urgent time, and he needs you and I to live not only saved, but to live called. You have the opportunity to partner with the calling this morning. However way God is leading you, he wants you to go deeper generously. He wants you to go deeper in saying yes. He wants you to go deeper in coming alongside your leadership, saying, we're going to do this thing. We're going to get this thing done. Because there's a harvest that is awaiting. So I'm wondering this morning if there's anyone here today as you have your heads bowed. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. You've never really formally said yes to Him. But today, you've come to this place and you realize that there's been a cry in your heart, a deep, secret cry in your heart. Saying, I need to change my life. I need to take a different path. Because the path I'm on isn't taking me anywhere good. So maybe you're here today and you're saying, yeah, I need to commit my life completely to Christ. Maybe you've never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have, but you've strayed and He's calling you back. As your heads are bowed, I'm wondering if there's anyone here that's in that place today that there's a cry that says help and you're wanting to say yes to the Savior today. You want to say yes to Jesus today. And you want to invite Him into your world today. If that's you, would you just slip your hand so I can see it all over this place? Lower, yes, see that. Anyone else in the lower auditorium? Anyone else? Anyone? Let me see your hand. Yeah. What about on the balcony? Anybody? Just raise your hand if that's you today. Inviting Jesus into your world. Anyone? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for these hands today. Father, we pray that you would invade their life with your presence, that you would invade their life with your Holy Spirit. The Father, today they would experience you in a real and fresh way. That they would sense your unconditional love, the love of the Father, like they've never sensed before. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for these souls, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for this church. There's others of you today that God's calling you to something deeper. Maybe you've never given to missions and today's your day to give. Today's your day to say yes. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be God's grace and mercy in motion. I'm going to bring some life somewhere. So Father, we pray and we pray a blessing on Richmond Pentecostal Church, Pastor Jim, Elaine, the staff, the leadership here. Father, multiply. Bring the harvest. Yeah, go above and beyond what they can even think or imagine. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can we give the Lord a hand clap this morning?